Welcome back to The Boomer, a podcast by the International Livestock Research Institute, looking at how sustainable livestock is building better lives in the Global South. I'm Annabelle Slater, and we're here for the second part of our episode featuring Roger Thoreau. Thoreau is a senior fellow for global agriculture and food policy for the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. So, Thoreau's most recent book is The First 1,000 Days, which was published in 2016. The title refers to the nine-month period of pregnancy and roughly the first 2 years of a child's development. Now, this is a crucial time. During this time, mothers and newborns need enough protein and micronutrients in order for children to fully develop their brains, their bodies, and their immune systems.
And you can't make up for this period later. It's really a one-time chance.
Yeah, it really has a huge impact on a child's life. This period basically lays the groundwork for their future health as an adult. And if you don't provide the child adequate nutrition during this period, as Thoreau explains, there will be consequences for the mother, for the child, and for future generations, the future family of that child.
So let's dig into this. In the first 1,000 days, Thoreau turns his attention away from agricultural productivity to nutrition. He tells the story of four young women from around the world, Uganda, India, Guatemala, and Chicago, here in the U.S. Now, in his previous book, he had focused on subsistence farmers in Kenya. So why, with this book, did he choose to go global?
At that time, this first 1,000 days movement was emerging and gaining more steam. The first 1,000 days being the time from when a mom first becomes pregnant to the second birthday of her child. And so that's about 1,000 days. And the emphasis was on the importance of good nutrition in that time. One thing that I had particularly learned that was profound while doing the last hunger season, and again with Sephora and her family. And Sephora had told me at one stage that the deepest form of misery during the hunger season was to be a mother or a father unable to silence the crying of a hungry child.
Thoreau is talking here about his experience with the Ugandan family and their children.
So their youngest son was 3 and 4 years old during the course of the reporting. He was manifestly malnourished with a distended belly and mottled hair and had a cough, a persistent cough through most of the time. And it was like, yeah, so what happens to be a mother unable to silence the crying of a hungry child?
It must be deeply painful to be the parent of a child whose suffering you can't alleviate because of some basic thing like inadequate food. And it must be even worse if you feel that this suffering stems from some failure on your part.
She felt that she was failing on two fronts, both as a farmer, as the women do most of the subsistence farming and growing the crops for daily consumption. She was failing on that front because she wasn't growing enough to feed her family throughout the year, to nourish her family. And two, failing then as a mother because she had malnourished children. Again, these things that you see and hear and then ponder, what happens to these children when they get off to such a lousy start in life, particularly on the nutrition front? What impact does that have, not only on them, but on their families and to all of us as a whole in this world?
And I said to Thoreau, but as with your previous books, you faced a writing challenge with this one. As how do you tie these issues that seem like they're eternal? You know that old biblical phrase, the poor will always be with us. How do you make that issue seem timely and relevant?
So then the first 1,000 days movement is emerging. And I was like, I'm thinking, well, how can one tell that story and focus on nutrition? Because it then builds on enough, the first book and then the last hunger season. And so I wanted to focus on the critical role of nutrition. And then, well, how to tell that story? And I figured, well, I followed these farmers in Western Kenya for the course of the year. Yes, in more of a close-knit setting. This is obviously a global issue of nutrition, of the first 1,000 days, of the importance of all our children getting off to a good start in life. And so I wanted to have like a global perspective of that. And so that's why then for various reasons of what one could write about in the various countries, settled on India, which has the most children born every year and the most malnourished children. and then Uganda, where yes, they certainly have the childhood malnutrition problem, but also they were one of the first countries that had two crops of this new biofortification initiative called Harvest Plus, where the farmers then were growing, in their case, orange flesh sweet potatoes, so high in vitamin A, this critical mineral, obviously, in the and nutrient in the first 1,000 days for moms and children, and high iron beans. In Guatemala, as countrywide, 50% or half the children under five in the country were malnourished. And in the Western Highlands, where I decided to follow some families, some moms and their children, in the Western Highlands, it was 70% of children under five that were malnourished and stunted. And in Chicago, to say that as a representative of kind of United States in a richer world, kind of writ large, that to follow them through some moms in Chicago on the South Side that were also struggling with food security issues. So that's why I wanted to take this kind of global look. So that set off on this very then ambitious agenda then, following the moms and families in these four places on a regular basis then over the 1,000-day period. And so yeah, that's kind of what took us in that direction, and why the focus on nutrition. And also to point out that, look, this isn't an issue that's just over there again somewhere. That's a problem over there. But this is something that impacts all of us.
He's right. There's a case to be made for almost any country in the global south, but you know, it's not exclusively those countries. Poverty, malnutrition, hunger remain problems for many hundreds of millions of people around the world. And the problem with these problems is that they compound. Malnutrition as a child, for example, makes it hard for you to work your way out of poverty as an adult. You simply lack the energy, the ability to focus that you would have had if you had had an adequate diet.
You know, stunting and childhood stunting, between one every four and one every five children under 5 years old in our world today are stunted in some manner. So, you know, 20 to 25%, I mean, it's my goodness. And then what is stunting? So people hear that, oh, well, what is that? The clinical definition, of course, is it's too short for age. What stunting really is, it's a life sentence of underachievement and underperformance. And it's this loss of potential that what might a child have accomplished for all of us, not just for themselves and for their families and their communities, but for all of us in the world, were they not stunted and malnourished profoundly during this first 1,000-day period.
These numbers continue to astound me. I mean, first, the suffering that these numbers imply, then the enormous loss of talent and ability that they represent.
Yes, me too. I have to admit, I'd never heard of the first 1,000 days concept until I came to Ilri. And I think my belief was like a lot of other people's. Famine, malnutrition, these are awful issues. But if we can just get children enough food, then they'll be cured, right? They'll recover. And it's shocking to realize how wrong that assumption is. Malnutrition in the first 1,000 days has permanent effects. And what Thoreau is pointing out is that we can't measure lost potential. Lost potential is unknown, unknowable, and it could be utterly priceless.
It's like a book, a poem not written, or a novel not imagined, or a gadget not invented, or a horizon not explored, or a cure not discovered. I mean, who knows again what these children might have accomplished for all of us. So kind of the takeaway, I hope, that people come away with reading the first 1,000 days is that, look, a lost chance of greatness for any child in our world then becomes a lost chance of greatness for us all. It's this loss of potential, but that is profound. And so that's why I wanted to go on this kind of global setting to show, look, it's not just a problem here or there or somewhere over there, but it's a problem that then impacts all of us. So a malnourished child anywhere in the world, a stunted child that becomes a malnourished and stunted child everywhere, because the ripples extend around the globe and throughout time. Stunted children become stunted adults.
And Thoreau's points seem important because, frankly, not everyone is moved to action by human emotions. Some people are looking for economic, rational, even self-interested reasons to care about children in some other country on the other side of the world, getting the right nutrition when they need it the most.
If the moral issue and humanitarian issue doesn't move you, well, God help you. But, you know, if it's not the economic aspect of it, or if it's not the security aspect of it, then what kind of stable world are we living in with so much hunger and malnutrition and the instability that comes from that? But then maybe it's this lost opportunity or this lost chance of greatness for all of us. And when we think about that, yeah, boy, what are we missing? And so when I talk to student groups, either in high school or at university, it's like, you know, just think about it. This is the world that you will be leading in many aspects, in many careers and walks of life and whatever you all go on to do. This is the world that you will be leading. Look at the diminished potential and capacity of that world if a quarter, 20 to 25% of children are stunted and malnourished and have this life sentence of underachievement. And then that carries over into adulthood. How are we limiting ourselves so much, and how do we tolerate it, and why do we tolerate it? And again, is this the kind of world that we want to live in and that we want to lead going forward? I say that my mantra as a journalist is to outrage and inspire. So outrage, that so there's an outrage in central to each of the books.
Another concern I have is the state of global development in the last 20 or 30 years has been steadily moving up until about 4 to 8 years ago. And recently, over the past few years, it's sort of stalled out. Today, there are some 700 to 800 million people who are hungry, and that number, if anything, has climbed over the past 3 to 5 years. I asked Thoreau how worried he felt about that trend.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I kind of ask myself, I guess I fluctuate over time, as I think a lot of people do. Because, yeah, you see the long-term numbers compared to 10 or 20 years ago, even further back than that. Yes, there's been great improvement, remarkable improvement in terms of some indicators. But that there is this persistent level that we can't pat ourselves on the back that, well, look how far we've come, but look what still remains. We can't be satisfied with that, with these the current levels of the 800 million chronically hungry people, the malnourishment levels, the stunting levels that we were talking about, that seem to be stubborn, and they're at that level. That's all of great concern. And as you see reports come out of, yeah, here's what the future holds for this if we don't take heed and change course. And so it's that kind of stubbornness of the levels of, say, hunger and malnutrition that we can't be satisfied, you know, by that. It's this kind of essential and fundamental question for all of us. Well, why do we tolerate this at all? And we can see that the impact that it has on all of us. So, yeah, kind of optimistic that kind of we know what to do, that the trends, but then pessimism or the concern that we need to make even more progress and continue to drive down these numbers. And then also kind of you want to grab us all by the lapels and say, what's wrong with us? You know, why are we tolerating any level of this? And so that's what I fervently hope for, but also struggle with it. Yeah, when do we come to that stage that we kind of all rise up and say, yep, enough with this, and we need to do something and to summon and rally this global willpower that's necessary for this.
Summoning and rallying global willpower. I think it's fair to say that's been Roger Thoreau's mission, beginning from his experience many years ago covering the famine in Ethiopia. He saw early on that nutrition is a global issue, and the fact is that if we lose one child, everyone loses.
I'm David Aronson.
I'm Annabelle Slater. Thanks for joining us on The Boma.